Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear fathers in Christ, this morning we gather around Psalm 100. And if you brought your Bible, I would encourage you to open to Psalm 100. If you didn't, there are the pews in the Bible, and you can find Psalm 100 on page 484, or in the hymnals. It'll be larger print. You can find Psalm 100 in the front of your hymn books. But a very short psalm. We spoke it responsibly a moment ago, but I want to refresh our memory of these great words, and very appropriate as we think of fathers and the responsibility God has entrusted to us and family in general. But it reads, "Shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." What a testimony of God as we are called and encouraged to worship him. Father's Day. You know, when the name Father is mentioned, if we're honest, it can stir up all kinds of emotions and memories and thoughts within us. And sometimes it's not good. For some, people cringe even hearing the word father because of the absolutely horrible family that as a child they grew up in. And maybe it was abuse, maybe it was neglect, maybe it was total desertion, and even some children have no clue who their father really is. And so Father's Day, not always a happy day for many. In fact, it takes on a negative connotation, sadly. Hopefully for most, if not all of us in this room, when we hear Father, it brings very pleasant memories. It brings joy to our hearts. It brings that sense of thankfulness and praise to God for that special man that God placed in our lives. And for others, fathers, you're here with your children this morning and enjoying this fellowship with one another, not only as family, but here together as family in the bigger family, worshiping our Heavenly Father. But the good news today, as you see on the screen, is that we do have a Father who is perfect, who loves us in a very perfect way. And that love, as we hear in the psalm, will never fail us. But you know, for us fathers gathered here this morning, we just confess together as sinners that we fail, that we have failed God. And certainly, if we're honest with ourselves, there are many times as fathers that we have failed our families. But the hope is, and the reality is that we have our Heavenly Father. And all the failures we may have committed, our Heavenly Father never fails. Last Sunday, we celebrated the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God. Yahweh is one, but he is three distinct persons. And this morning on Father's Day, we really want to think about our Heavenly Father and celebrate his presence among us, his great love for us. And so the theme that I hold before you is, this is our Father's Day, meaning our Heavenly Father. In fact, every moment of every day is his day because he is the one who has blessed us with this day. And in the psalm, this psalm is really a call to worship. It's an encouragement to us as we reflect upon God's character to come to Him and to worship Him. And so in these few words, fathers, we hear some amazing revelations from God about His character. And if only our kids would know these truths, it will change their lives as it has changed our lives forever. And the first thing is, in the confusion of all the idols and the gods that are worshipped in the world today, the psalmist simply in prayer declares, know, and it's in verse 3, know that the Lord, and Lord is all caps, meaning Yahweh, as we talked about it last week, the holiest name of God, know that Yahweh is God. So laid right out there, all of this confusion about all these other gods that people are running after and worshiping, they're nothing but idols, they are fake, they are the creation of man, and God reveals to us clearly that He alone is God, and He alone is the one who can claim to be worshipped. As we gather here, He alone is the one entitled to universal admiration. And God wills and desires that all people would come to know Him. It's even Jesus' prayer in the gospel reading this morning, as Jesus encourages us to pray that all people would come to know Yahweh. And then look at this. It is He who made us. And that made literally create. It is He who made us. Nothing complex about that. Boy, you go out in the world today and it's like, where did we come from? And all this mystery about how the universe began. God just simply says through the Psalms, you know, I'm the one that made you, by the way. And boy, that changes everything. When we recognize clearly our Father, who has created us. We're not an accident. It's not by chance. But God has created us. And literally that means to make something out of nothing. You know, we hear a lot of artists, for instance, they work, and I admire artists and what their creativity and what they can do. And finally they get done and they look at what they've done in a painting or a sculpture or whatever. And it's like, wow, this is my creation. But you know, they used other products to make their creation. Only God can make things out of nothing. He called this world into being. He called you and I to life in a very unique and special way, desiring that we would be part of His fold. And we are, as God says in Psalm 100, verse 3, look at this, we are His people. And that's the whole world. Unfortunately, most human beings deny God's existence, or they run after other gods. They deny the simple truth, and God announces it to the world, oh, you are my people, I've created you. And yet the majority want nothing to do with God. And so sad, so many fathers that are bringing their children up not knowing God. And it carries on from generation to generation. And the psalmist goes on to say that we are the sheep of His pasture. There's the church. We are the sheep of His pasture. And so the Lord has called you and me into this marvelous faith. It's all by His doing. It is His gift. It is through grace that God declares His favor upon you and me. And He made it possible by giving us the greatest gift, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and who rose again and who lives. And recently we celebrated the theme of Good Shepherd. This whole sheep theme, as Psalm 100 brings out, the sheep of His pasture. And being sheep of His pasture, we live in absolute security. There's so many kids today that are living in total insecurity. Why? Because they don't know their shepherd. Why? Because nobody has introduced them to their Heavenly Father. Jesus is our good shepherd. And we hear in the Psalm 23, that we love so much, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. And what? I shall not want. Not meaning I don't want him, meaning I shall not be in want of anything. Because our Heavenly Father, our good shepherd, God, Yahweh, provides everything necessary for us to function and to live. Isn't that something, fathers, we'd want our kids to know? And to model that in our position as the head of the family? And then I love Jesus' words in the Good Shepherd chapter. Talk about security. Listen to this. It's in John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice, which is the word of God. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Think about the ramifications of those words. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And I love that passage from Isaiah. The Lord, you know, just Jesus saying, I just hold you close to my heart. And yet I think of the brokenness of family today and so many children growing up in homes, and they don't know that image. They don't know this truth. And their parents send them out the door, have a good day, be safe. But they're sending them out into a world of a pack of wolves, evil and darkness. But how blessed to be a child of God and to live in this security. God saying, Jesus saying, and then he says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. There Jesus makes reference to God the Father, that God protects us, His precious children. Now I'm preaching to the choir this morning because these faithful fathers are here this morning, and it was great to see the little ones come forward. What a testimony. But fathers, it's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Are we teaching our kids daily the good news of our Heavenly Father? Are we bringing to them God's voice in His Word? And even more so, are we not only talking about these things and sharing them, but especially are we modeling them in our lives by our actions, by the way that we approach life? Do our kids see in us as fathers or grandfathers, do they see clearly in us that God, our Heavenly Father, is the real deal? He's the one who reigns over our lives, and we seek after His will. It's the greatest, greatest blessing that we can bring to our kids. All the other stuff is fluff. It's not going to last very long. But our Heavenly Father lasts forever, and His love for us endures forever. The Lord cares for His people. In verse 5, look at that. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. What a statement. You think about the ramifications of that. His love endures forever. It's not like one day you're going to wake up, and especially if you had a father who deserted you, the one day you're going to wake up and your Heavenly Father's going to desert you. It will never happen because that is not God's character. His love endures forever. And then look at this. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's a long time. His faithfulness is forever. And so if we've been failed many times by our Heavenly Father or by our earthly father, we can turn to our Heavenly Father and know that He is consistently with us and our security is found in Him. And praise God. As a father, I say that, praise God, because I've failed my kids many times by God's standards. We all can say that, I believe. But you know what? As we as fathers gathered here, we're probably running through our minds, or wow, I sure failed there. Boy, I wished I would have done that better. But you know what? Today is a new day. And especially for grandparents here, and your kids are out of the home, you know, and they're all over the country. And what a day to call your kids and just tell them, you know what? And they'll probably be calling you, hopefully. But when you talk to them, say, you know, I just love you so much, but I'm so sorry for the ways that I failed you as a father. But isn't it a wonderful thing and blessing that we do have a common Father? And we can lean upon Him, and we can allow Him to love on us. And we are forgiven, and today is a new day. Today is the day that if there was a chain of bad things going on in the family, today is a day the chain can be broken. Not by our power and strength, but by God's intervention. And so as we look at these characteristics of God as they're revealed to us this morning, on this Father's Day, it's a time to really embrace God's character, to rejoice in it, which leads to this psalm, which is a call to worship psalm. It's a call for us then to worship God, to make a joyful noise as we hear. And in verse 4 of the psalm, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. To acknowledge, to recognize verbally, visibly, physically, as we gather here in worship this morning, and acknowledging God for who He is and praising Him and thanking Him for who He is. And in verse 2, I love it. I think this was a theme for LWML one time. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yeah. Or some translations have worship the Lord with gladness. Worship and serve, meaning the same thing in the Hebrew language. So serve or worship the Lord with gladness. Now we do that like we are now in the sanctuary, like we are gathered here. And I hope as you came this morning, it wasn't by compulsion, it wasn't by force, or it wasn't out of guilt, because that's all law. God doesn't want us to worship based on those things, but to come out of that sense of joy, knowing His love for us, knowing that we live in His favor, and recognizing there's nothing else I'd rather do at this moment than to be here and worship God. And fathers, modeling is so important for us in worship. I grew up in a home where I never felt like I was forced to go to worship, but I saw especially my dad leading that example. And during this season of the year was one of the greatest times he modeled it, because wheat harvest is coming up soon. That was our income. And at the peak of wheat harvest is also the peak of hail season. And Sunday mornings, we'd hop in the car and head 7 miles into town to go to worship. And I'd see farmers all over the place, out in the fields, had their fuel trucks out there, fueling up the combines, getting ready. The harvest was ready. We got to get it in. And Dad said, you know what? The Lord gave us this harvest, and He could take it away very quickly. And so we're going to first and foremost on this day worship Him. Came home at noon. My mom and sister in dresses ran and hopped into trucks. Got them placed where they needed to be out in the harvest fields. And we did cut wheat Sunday afternoon. But the morning was the Lord's. And other than harvest, the day was the Lord's, this side of an emergency. I've never lost that lesson. Fathers, remember how important your position is in the family. God has put you in that position of leadership. And so that's coming to the sanctuary, but this psalm is more than just compartmentalizing and setting aside an hour a week to worship the Lord. No, it's worship the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness. It's the way of life that we are called to live. It is the highest honor when we recognize that we are created by God, when we recognize that God has made you and me the individual specific people that we are, to recognize that God has a laid out plan and purpose for our lives, my goodness, it makes our life one of worship. It's a life filled with purpose. It's a life being honored by our Heavenly Father, looking upon each of us and says, oh, do I have a plan for you? And you are going to be such a blessing to others, and that we do it glorifying and praising God. That's our call. In conclusion, and looking at that slide, you know, that fits into every career in life. It fits into every position you are in life. Remember years ago, Abbott Northwestern Hospital was the big heart hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we had several members of our congregation that were having heart issues and open heart surgery. I was running to Minneapolis about every week, got to know some of the volunteers at the hospital really well. They got to know me, learned I was from Nebraska, Alvy. And anyway, the chief surgeon, Alvy and I have a little joke going on about that. But the chief surgeon, one of the volunteer staff said, you'd love to read his article. He grew up in the sand hills of Nebraska. And so they brought me the article, and it was the most wonderful testimony of faith. Here, this brilliant surgeon, chief of all the heart surgeons in one of the better heart hospitals in the country. And guess what this surgeon wrote? He had a statement, and it was basically a testimony. And he said, I would never have the courage to walk into that surgery room if I didn't know my Lord Jesus Christ walked in ahead of me. What did he reveal? What we see on the screen. You know, I'm just an instrument, God. You gave me these gifts and abilities, but you're God, I'm not. But I want you, God, to be glorified in what I do. And what a testimony from a surgeon. Or I've shared the bus driver many times, the Promise Keepers bus driver. 50,000 Christian pastors gathered in a stadium in Atlanta. And that was pretty cool. But the person I remember the most, don't even know her name, was the bus driver. On a little van that I hopped on to get to the train to go into the city in Atlanta. But I tell you what, when you got off that bus, you were pumped for the Lord. She was praising God. She was quoting Scripture, not thumping anybody with Scripture, but you just saw the joy flowing out of her heart. You couldn't miss it. And then the ISS, the space station. You know that we've had some LCMS, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod astronauts, but a Christian astronaut who actually put together a coffee table book of pictures that he's taken from the space station. And guess what's connected with each picture? A reading from the Psalms. It's a Christian book. It's beautiful. Praising and glorifying our Heavenly Father for what He has created and seeing it from that perspective. What's He doing? He's serving the Lord. Whether you're an astronaut, whether you're a surgeon, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a bus driver or a garbage collector, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that we serve the Lord with gladness. And what a testimony, fathers, for our kids and grandkids. And what a blessing to those around us. Happy Father's Day. And Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.